we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In another generation, how will our society interpret the doctrine of separation of church and state? I'd like to visit with you about this today in the sermon. This is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you said that you had come into this world to be king, but that your kingdom is not of this world. We pray on this Christ the King Sunday that our thoughts may be turned to understand just a bit better what it means to acknowledge you as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Come into our heart and rule our bodies. Grant, O God, that our lives may be given completely to you, that the kingdom of God may be advanced and men and women may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Bless our program to that extent. We ask it in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 33. Pilate then summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Pilate sarcastically asked, "What is truth?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. Page through the New Testament, and some of the most interesting chapters are those where Jesus is in conversation with people. Do you remember the visit with that man by the name of Nicodemus that is recorded in John 3? The Bible tells us that this man, a ruler of his own people, came to Jesus by night. It must have been early in the ministry of Jesus. He had become attracted to the Lord by his teachings and the miracles that he performed. It was on that particular night that Jesus introduced to him the new teaching. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That caused Nicodemus to have all kinds of questions. But what Jesus was saying to him was this: when we are first born, we are sinners. And it is important for us that that sin somehow be removed, in order that we might be restored into fellowship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Only then can a person have any kind of a relationship with God. Well, that is just introducing you to that interview that I'm sure many of you have spent a lot of time with, pondered its meaning, and what it has actually done in your own life. Today we have another interview that Jesus is having with a man by the name of Pilate. It's at the end of his ministry. And Pilate did not come to Jesus at night asking him, "Who are you?" But rather, the enemies of our Lord brought him to Pilate. And they accused him of being a criminal and claiming to be the king. I think perhaps it was that last statement that got Pilate's attention, because if he were going to be a king, was he trying to start some kind of a rebellion against the Roman government? And if he were, then Pilate certainly had to be concerned, and he had to see that it would be nipped in the bud. So the conversation was around Jesus as king. Now, this is Christ the King Sunday. And so it is interesting to hear what Jesus meant when he said, "Yes, I am the king." The question then was put to Jesus directly by the Roman governor: "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus turned to him and asked the question, "Is this your own idea, or did someone else put it into your head?" That irritated Pilate just a little bit, and he said, "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? I'm not a Jew." "No, they just say that you're the king. What does it mean?" And Jesus then turned and said to him, "Yes, I am a king. But you see, my kingdom is not of this world. For that I was born, for this reason I have come into the world to testify to the truth." And the conversation, I'm sure, went on much longer than what is recorded in John's Gospel. But Jesus was telling him that the kingdom that I refer to is not going to bother you, Pilate, as far as Rome is concerned. When Pilate began to listen to Jesus and what he meant by being a king and what kind of a kingdom he had, Pilate was relieved. And so when Jesus said, "I have come to reveal the truth," Pilate throws back the other philosophical question, "Oh, what is truth?" And I am sure that in his own mind he thought just another philosopher with some weird teaching and some crazy idea, and he let him go. You know, friend, many of Pilate's actions are not so different from the actions that we see today as people respond to Jesus Christ. And here is one of them. When he says that he's the Lord and the Savior of the world, there are many out there who will say, "How weird can he get? How weird." And they leave him. I hope I'm not talking to any of you today who have treated Jesus in that way. When he says, "I come to be your Savior. I come to make you a part of my kingdom. But my kingdom is not of this world," have you been prone to say, "Well, just another religious fanatic"? Listen, friend. The day is going to come, according to St. Paul, when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, for the church in all ages, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is far more than a teacher and a role model. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And those of us who trust Him as our Savior and our Lord are a part of another kingdom. Peter put it this way, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. Taking that teaching, Martin Luther has put it this way, the Christian is a citizen of two kingdoms. For us, it would mean that we are citizens of the United States of America, and we are citizens of God's kingdom by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now then, with this teaching before us, the question is raised, are there responsibilities to both the state and God's kingdom? As far as the Christian is concerned, is there any great conflict here? Should the state really be concerned about Christians as those who are going to rebel and be very bad citizens? Should they keep their finger on us at all times? Not according to our Lord Jesus Christ. He taught again and again that we are to be loyal citizens of the kingdom of this earth. And St. Paul, writing to the Roman congregations, reminded them of their responsibility. Every one of you must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. In other words, our government is of God. Don't always act that way, but it is what God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, the Word of God says. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now that's a pretty strong statement, and I don't think that the government ever needs to fear that the Christian, the person who is committed to the Lord Jesus, will be a real problem unless the government goes contrary to what the Lord says. We are to be the loyal citizens of the United States. We are also to be loyal citizens of God's kingdom through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Christ is our King. And so we go on to ask him, what is your will? We don't need a lot of laws because we live in a relationship to him. We are the ones who have been told to love. We're the ones who have been told to feed the hungry. We're the ones who have been told to evangelize this world and tell them of the love of God and Jesus Christ. We are the ones who should be, because of our love for the Lord Jesus, those who are simply anxious to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. So yes, there are responsibilities to the kingdom of the state and to the kingdom of God. I am God's redeemed child. I am his forever. And I live out of love to serve him. In other words, we know very well that our earthly stay on this earth is going to be limited. And so the kingdom of this earth is, of course, not as important as the kingdom that will last for all eternity. But there is allegiance to all. Well, then, might there be conflicts between the state and God's kingdom? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. History is full of examples. The early apostles finally came to the place where they had to say to the rulers, we have got to obey God rather than man. Why did they say that? Because the government had said you can no longer teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it was necessary for Peter and John to say, we want to be loyal citizens of this Roman Empire, but when you forbid us from telling the story of Jesus Christ, then let us assure you that we must follow the Savior, and you can do with us whatever you have to do. And that was the way it was in Nazi Germany and in communist Russia. There were the Christian people, and they were confessing their faith in Christ when those dictators said, no more of this. You must remember that the head of the state is the highest authority that you have. It was in those days that men like Bishop Dubelius, Martin Niemöller, Hans Lilje, and others had to say, in the words of John and Peter, we must obey God rather than man. It was none other than Dietrich Bonhoeffer who finally had said the state has gone too far. And so he returned to his land of Germany and resisted the government in every way that he could and finally had to give up his life in order that his allegiance to Jesus Christ would take precedence over that of the state. Yes, there is sometimes conflict between the state and God's kingdom, but this conflict comes only when there must be a choice between God and Caesar. When Niemöller, according to his own testimony, saw that Adolf Hitler was killing the Jewish people by the thousands and the tens of thousands, he had to say, this is enough. And at that time, he broke all relationships with the party and turned around to be a faithful walker with Jesus Christ. Christians must say with the apostles, we must follow Jesus Christ. Now, there need not be this conflict. And we thank God that in America, our government has seen the blessing God has brought to this nation through Christian men and women. They have allowed us then, the government has allowed us the right to turn to the Lord Jesus and acknowledge him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. There have been many of our great people in government who have acknowledged Jesus Christ publicly and openly and have seen that in him alone there is guidance that can be trusted. You take Washington at Valley Forge. There was a man who knew that he must turn to God. He was without direction. He was without strength. And God was the provider of it all. There was Lincoln, bound in his study, on his knees by his little boy. Lincoln knew that the problems before him were far too great. And so it was not too much for him, as the President of the United States, and I imagine you could say one of the most powerful men in the world, to bow before the Lord and ask for direction. There was Jimmy Carter, who on a Sunday morning would grab his Bible and go to his church and teach his Bible class. Jimmy Carter knew that Jesus Christ alone was the Lord of Lords. And even though he were the President of the United States, there was one who was higher than he. Now, when we see what we have been blessed with in America, that even though the church was separated from the state, we have had all of these opportunities and continue to have them today, one can only ask the question, in this day of religious pluralism, might some of the freedom be taken from us? Might it be that we will not have the right to do the things that once we did? That is a question that the Church of Jesus Christ must ever have before it. And on a Sunday when we talk about Christ as King, it raises the important question, where will our nation stand on this question in another generation? We can't discount that. When Jesus began to talk about a kingdom that was not of this world, Pilate thought, what kind of foolishness is this? When Jesus began to say that he was a king in a far different sense than the emperor in Rome, Pilate thought, well, let him go on. I don't have to worry about him. Don't discount it, friend. Ask the question, will Jesus Christ still be the reigning authority in the hearts of men and women in America? And will they be able to express their convictions regarding the Lord and not be taken to task for it? When Jesus is Lord of our lives, he is our Savior, Master, and King. For then he has captured our hearts, and to him alone we bow as our heavenly King. And to him alone do we have that allegiance that far surpasses any allegiance that we have to anyone else on the face of this earth. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Father in heaven, today we pray for the United States of America. We pray, Lord, that we may continue to be blessed in the future as we have been blessed in the past, with a right to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience and to evangelize in this world, to tell others the riches that they can have in Jesus Christ, and not be in any way persecuted by the state. But Father, we pray that the church may be very much aware that some of these privileges could be taken away. Grant, O God, that if that day should ever come, we may follow in the footsteps of Peter and John, who said it so clearly when once they proclaimed, "We must obey God rather than man." Give us that strength and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray for the safety of your family and friends as they travel home from their Thanksgiving visits. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay monthly radio bills. We warmly thank each of our gem donors. You are truly jewels in this important ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.